Nation, Manx Radio.
This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service.
Manx Radio.
Daisy is on a pilgrimage to visit every dog-friendly cathedral in the UK and the Isle of Man. And she's taking Sarah Morris with her for company. And Ellen Blacker has just visited the island in less than perfect weather conditions, and she's still fallen head over heels in love with it. We'll meet them all after our first piece of music from Sir John Rutter. Catherine Jenkins with the Prague Symphonia and the Rudolphus Choir, and John Rutter's All Things Bright and Beautiful, All Creatures Great and Small. That seems to be a fitting introduction to my first guests today. A couple of visitors to the cathedral in Peel. Daisy, a black Labrador, and Sarah Morris, a dog behaviourist living in the New Forest. And together, they're making a pilgrimage to every dog-friendly cathedral in the UK and the Isle of Man, of course. Daisy sat very close to my microphone and seemed quite keen to be interviewed, but it was actually Sarah who explained how this particular pilgrimage started.
Now, when was it? It was about 2021. I went to Salisbury Cathedral. I'm a single person and Daisy is my family, so she comes everywhere with me. And we walked around Salisbury. It was lovely. And dogs draw you to people. And, you know, people come up and say hello. And Daisy says hello. And it was a lovely experience. And so a couple of months later, I was at Winchester Christmas Market, right next to the cathedral. And there's a big sign outside the cathedral saying, "Welcome, everybody is welcome. Come in, you're all welcome. So I went in. I'm sorry, can you leave, please? We don't allow dogs in Winchester Cathedral. And it was a horrible feeling, it really was. So, you know, they had a job to do, so I left. And I thought about it and I looked up and I discovered that deans have complete autonomy as to what goes on in cathedrals. It's not the Church of England overseer, it's deans. So I wrote to the then Dean of Winchester Cathedral and I asked her, you know, a nice letter saying if you've got a Benedictine tradition of welcome, it should be everybody, it should be inclusive. And she came straight back to me and said, I'm so sorry you were asked to leave Winchester Cathedral. We're going to change the policy and allow dogs into the cathedral. And I'd like you and Daisy to be my guest.
And it just shows that it doesn't necessarily need to be strident campaigning just to approach and put a case forward. So was that the start of something much bigger for you, Sarah?
It was. And then I don't really understand how it happens. So I thought I'll write a letter to Church Times. So I contacted Church Times and they said, actually, we don't want a letter. Can you write an article for us? Because this is starting to be a thing. You know, Canterbury had then become dog friendly. And I think there were five or six and they were realising the visitor numbers were going up. So I wrote an article. And then about 3 months later, I had an email from them and said, oh, by the way, we've put the picture of Daisy on the front cover of Church Times. This is the one thing sort of unexpectedly that has come out of the pilgrimage. This is now the 32nd cathedral that I've been to, the Anglican cathedral. There are 45 and there are still a few more that are refusing, but I'm working on them. But the welcome, yes, everybody should be welcome. You are inclusive. You welcome everybody to the cathedral. People with problems, older people, people in wheelchairs, you accommodate them, people with mental health issues, children, mothers with pushchairs, you have an inclusive welcome to everybody. When you come into a cathedral, what I've found is they'll always have a volunteer at the door saying, hello, welcome. And it's such a small thing, but it's such a huge thing. You're welcome. Where have you come from? In your daily life, you know, there's a Benedictine tradition of welcoming people. When do we ever do welcome strangers into our home and give them a cup of tea and a sit down and a toilet and a meal? We don't, but cathedrals do, and it's a wonderful thing.
You may be able to give me an insight into this as a dog behaviourist. Dogs will respond to a peaceful atmosphere.
Absolutely, they do. So when we come into a cathedral, they're large open spaces. And when you come in, your head goes up and your jaw drops and you look at the ceiling and there's this sense of awe when you go into a cathedral. And it's usually quieter. People lower their voices when they come in. It's a little bit darker. And all these things actually change the dog's behaviour as well. So there haven't been any problems. I always ask when I go to a cathedral, there haven't been any problems. And there are some very practical things you can do. We learned that during lockdown, if you just put an arrow and you want people to walk in the particular direction, they don't have to, but if you just have a sign saying, please come this way, then dogs sort of go in one direction and you're unlikely to have a nose-to-nose confrontation. Just with simple rules, if somebody wants to welcome dogs, there's never a problem. What I've been doing is finding out which cathedrals do not welcome dogs. I'll then sort of do a little bit of research about the history of the cathedral and the staff there. And I'll write a letter to the dean. I've done this a number of times and point out all the good things that can happen. All the signs in the Bible that you should welcome everyone. As Christ welcomed us, he welcomes everybody, no matter who you are. If you're a single person and your family is a dog, then why not? So I've written letters to deans and a number have come back and said we're going to change our policy. I don't flatter myself that it's because of me, but I think I've created an environment where if the deans get together in a meeting, this subject will come up. I've had success at Guildford Cathedral, that's now dog friendly. Gloucester is now dog friendly. Hereford is now dog friendly. There are lots that have changed their policy recently, and I think there are a few more to come.
When we had Luke Gerron's Moon here in the cathedral, when we were welcoming literally thousands, we were anxious that people would feel that they were welcome to bring their dogs in, but we did ask them to avoid the servery where the refreshments were. So there is that issue, to avoid food areas.
Absolutely.
But tell me about the allergy issue. How do you cope with that? Because there are people who do have quite serious allergies.
Absolutely. It is a serious issue. I think with proper measures, there are some policies within cathedrals saying dogs are allowed in certain places in the cathedral, but not others. So if you want to come and pray in a dog-free environment, you're welcome to come to the Lady Chapel. Some cathedrals started off with, say, a dog-friendly Friday or a couple of days a week, so that if you don't want to come across a dog in a cathedral, if you've got a fair, that's fine. So start off with a small area and see how it goes. But all of those cathedrals that have started off small have gone full-time. There are some policies that actually say, please leave the cathedral at any time if you feel your dog is uncomfortable or you're making somebody uncomfortable. You know, there are rules and regulations and policies which are really easy and happy to abide by if there are policies set in place.
It just really comes down to sensitivity, doesn't it, Sarah? Really?
I think so, yes, and absolutely. I have a sensitivity to people who don't have dogs or don't like dogs. You know, I would like to think that if somebody made it obvious that they were allergic or they were terrified, I'd leave and come back or something.
You're wearing your pilgrim shell. You are, when we finish speaking, you're going to go down onto Fenella Beach and collect your own pilgrim shell. You must have quite a collection of pilgrim symbols from all the cathedrals.
Well, I do. I have a pilgrim passport. And you take a pilgrim passport into a cathedral and every cathedral has a stamp. Once you tick something off a list, oh, I've got to do the others. There's a list here of all the cathedrals, all the Anglican cathedrals, and I started with the ones near me, Salisbury, Winchester, Chichester, and I thought, oh, I might go up to Coventry, and then I've been all the way up to Carlisle and Durham and Newcastle.
And, of course, the inevitable question is, where next after the Isle of Man?
Oh, that's my favourite question. Yes, there are a couple of cathedrals that I'll still work on, you know, a sense of time. I love travelling, and Daisy has a Gryffindor scarf and some Harry Potter glasses, and I think we're going to go around and have a look at filming locations. So instead of hashtag cathedral dog, we've got hashtag Harry Potter.
Oh, I really can't top that. Sarah Morris, it's only a very short visit to the island, but I do hope that you've had a lovely day in a little bit here. It is very lovely to meet you, Daisy, who's kept very close to us during the course of this conversation. Sarah, thank you very much indeed for visiting us.
Thank you, Judith. My pleasure.
Thank you, Sarah Morris and Daisy. And if you'd like to follow their adventures and see some photographs, you can find Sarah Morris on Facebook and Daisy on Instagram at hashtag cathedraldog. Another recent visitor to the island was 21-year-old Ellen Blacker, a university graduate who is apprenticed to Adrian Fox, the Anglican Church's Building Support Officer, advising churches and cathedrals on the care of heritage buildings and helping them to achieve the target of becoming net zero. Or as Ellen summed it up...
Churches, cathedrals, buildings, all of that. We're all over it.
Adrian Fox was a guest on this programme some weeks ago talking about the work of his department, so it was other things that I was keen to talk about with Ellen on this, her first visit to the island.
Yes, this is my first time and it has just been the most wonderful few days, despite the weather. Well, in fact of the weather, I just think we're getting a real taste of Manx life here and it's been glorious.
Well, it's lovely to have you here and you're very interested in Celtic crosses, Celtic spirituality, aren't you?
I am. I also work alongside Adrian in the church and cathedral building department, but before that I was studying theology. And as part of my degree, I spent a lot of time in Sweden and in Scandinavia and studying kind of early Viking, Celtic, emerging Christianity. So that is something that's both very interesting to me in a kind of academic perspective, but also in a professional and personal capacity. I think looking forwards, I'm quite involved in my local church and in young people's spirituality. And I just think there's so many parallels that we can draw through the emerging interest in young people, in ritual, in connection to our heritage, in connection to something greater, and that sort of Celtic Christianity idea of truth to nature and preservation of, you know, spirituality and all of that. And that's obviously so central to the island, with so many different thin places and the most wonderful Celtic crosses here as well.
Ellen, I'm so pleased to get a chance to talk to you because I've been reading a lot about this quiet revival, which is your age group, young
yes.
people searching. Is that right?
That is entirely correct. I can see on the ground in the last few years, especially post-COVID, the amount of interest in prayer, the amount of interest in attending church as well, actually coming along and taking part in the ritual and taking part in church life and getting involved in church heritage is just outstanding. It's really, really glorious to see. I've actually got a few facts here about the Quiet Revival, just a few statistics. So over 50% of 18 to 24 year olds have engaged in some sort of spiritual practice in the last 6 months, and attendance is rising as well, particularly interestingly in young men. So 21% of young men now attend church compared to 12% of young women, which I think, obviously I'm a young woman, I can't speak for young men, but when we look to the greater society and we hear all the time about, you know, the male loneliness epidemic, and we can see what can happen to young people when they feel isolated, when they feel lonely, to see that they are getting involved in church life, to see that they are getting involved in the community and all of that, is just really, really lovely to see.
Now, you say that you're involved in your own church, and let's just put this geographically, because you come from a very romantic part of the world. You're from Dartmoor, but you're actually living in London at the moment. Tell me about your church, Ellen.
So my church, I have had a little bit of a process over the last few months. I moved to London about 6 months ago. I come from a very sort of middle of the ground, standard village church life. So moving to London, I was like, this is just the most fascinating church world. First of all, I started going to a Shoreditch church, which is very evangelical, and it's a great community full of young people. But for me personally, having studied theology and having the real connection to Catholic identity, and I ended up finding myself alongside more of a kind of Anglo-Catholic tradition, immersing myself in that sort of Anglican, Catholic, emerging identity, which is actually quite similar to a lot of other young people of my age as well. We can see in Catholicism has taken a massive rise in recent years. I just think, actually, and I was thinking this earlier and I was discussing with my colleagues, in this world where everything is so accessible, where everything can be answered through Google in just, you know, 2 seconds, you can have the answers to literally any question. This is the only thing left. This is the only thing that we cannot just type into an AI machine and get an answer for. You actually have to do the introspection. You actually have to do the work yourselves. And you actually have to immerse yourself into a community and to learn alongside other people, which is something that I definitely am trying to do more of now. I also think as well, in a world where we're becoming more aware of different neurodiversities, to have that fixed vocabulary, to have that fixed dialogue, to be given an order of service that gives you everything, tells you what to say, when to sit down. As a neurodivergent person myself, I find that really appealing. And I think, again, that might be why we are seeing such a rise in young men in particular. And I know from my personal experience, my brother, for example, who is autistic, who finds a lot of reassurance in that. I think it has appeal on top of that, that particularly in somewhere like London, which often can be really isolating based on your class or based on your race or based on your access to certain people, church is this really unifying thing. I come from quite a state school background, but through church I've had access to network with people from all over the world, from all different sorts of walks of life, different professions, different races, everything. And that is really something that we can all be unified as one under Jesus Christ, that I just love about church. There's nowhere else like it. There's nowhere else I know from a professional capacity. These third spaces are really lacking in our contemporary society. Spaces where you can enter and you can be surrounded by beauty and art and history and music. It's just fantastic.
You speak so much from your heart, Ellen, but I've got to just focus on where you're living. We certainly don't have its equivalent on the island, but it seems to me to be a genius idea.
So I am what's called a property guardian. So we are the middle ground between squatting and renting. We call it gentrified squatting, which is probably an incorrect term, but it means that we take over formerly commercialised buildings. For example, I live in a old retirement home, but there are hospitals, there are office spaces, there are pubs, there are legal chambers, there are all sorts, and we look after them while they're being sold to make sure that they're not being taken over by squatters, which sounds really great, but more than that, it gives us this real community. It's a real mixing point. I have got 60 odd flatmates, and they're from the most disparate different backgrounds from across the continent or from across the world. I've got Kiwi flatmates, I've got Slovakian handyman neighbours, all of this. And so I'm 21, but my next door neighbour is in her 60s. And it just means, again, when we're looking towards this loneliness epidemic that's happening, that sense of community and that sense of having access across the ages is just wonderful.
But it is in fact entirely legal. Ooh. It's properly managed.
Yes.
But of course it is so much better than these buildings, which are scheduled possibly for ultimate demolition or repurposing, but they could otherwise be empty for a long time.
And when we hear so much about the housing crisis, and there's so many of my peers who are still living at home, I was living at home for quite a number of months and travelling up from Dartmoor to London. Having something like this, if we've got these spaces, if we can live there and we can operate as a community there, why not? And it also, from a heritage point of view and from a building maintenance point of view, it's great. I get access to these really interesting buildings and I get to look after them. And I also, because it's not really renting, I can paint it however I want. I can put whatever pictures on the wall. I just love it.
Music from the Huddersfield Choral Society, and my thanks to Ellen Blacker giving us her insights into the quiet revival, the growing number of young people like herself choosing to go to church and to involve themselves in its life and community. And now it's time to take a look at our notice board, with lots happening this afternoon and evening, starting with a choice of music for you to enjoy in Peel this afternoon. In Peel Methodist Chapel, starting at 3 o'clock, you can enjoy an afternoon of beautiful music with Karen and John Elliott and friends. Admission is free, with a retiring offering for chapel funds. Then in the cathedral in Peel, the Schola Cantorum will sing Fore's Requiem, starting this afternoon at 3:30. Admission is free and all are welcome to come and enjoy this beautiful reflective work so appropriate for this season of remembrance. It's Wesley Guild Sunday today, and so there will be a special evening service in Bride Methodist Chapel tonight at 6:30. The preacher is Reverend Joe Smart. There'll be musical items by Dillis Sowry and friends, and the service will be followed by light refreshments. That's in Bride Methodist Church tonight at 6:30. And the Wesley Guild regular Monday evening meetings continue tomorrow, the 17th, at 7:30, when the evening will be organised by the Social Committee, with, as always, a warm welcome for all. Back to this evening, and at 6:30, the Mariners will be in Trinity Methodist Church at Rosemount here in Douglas, when the preacher will be Reverend Brian Yardie. As usual, there'll be supper and community hymn singing after the service. Also tonight, you're invited to St James in Dorby for another of their regular Taizé services, a gentle reflective time of worship starting tonight at 6:30 and welcoming everyone, particularly anyone who's never experienced a Taizé service. Dorby is a great place to come and give it a try. Again tonight at 6:30, there'll be a short service to end the wonderful wedding dress festival that's currently in Ballabeg Chapel and Hall. The service will include the Ballabeg bells, well-known hymns and a bit of Gaelic too. And there's still time to look at the display of wedding dresses through the ages, as the exhibition, Raising Money for Hospice, is open again today right up until the service in Ballabeg Chapel at 6:30. Admission to the exhibition is £10. On now to the week ahead, and those very popular simple lunches are being served again at the Cool Chapel Hall on Cool Road in Braddon this Thursday the 20th from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Come along for homemade soup and desserts, followed by tea or coffee. Charity Christmas cards and fair trade items will also be on sale, and everyone will be made very welcome. Looking ahead to next weekend, and there's lots happening next Saturday, the 22nd. We start with a coffee morning in Union Mills Church Hall, open from 10:30 till 12 noon. Tickets are £3, which includes unlimited tea, coffee, mince pies and biscuits. There'll be lots of stalls, games and a raffle, and all proceeds will benefit the Methodist missions. The parish of Ramsey in the northeast have their Christmas fair next Saturday in St Paul's Church Hall in Ramsey. Open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m, entry is free, with lots of stalls including Christmas craft items, gifts and cakes, plus games, tombola, activities for children and food. Soup, filled baps, hot drinks and cakes will all be on sale. And when you've been there, you can head out of Ramsey towards Laxey and stop at Christchurch at the Doon, who also have their Christmas fair next Saturday, starting at 2:30. As well as Christmas stalls, crafts, cakes and a chocolate tombola, Santa will be in his grotto. The £1 admission includes a cup of tea or coffee and a mince pie. Father Christmas has got a very busy day next Saturday, because Balaff Parish Church have their very popular Meet Father Christmas Family Day next Saturday the 22nd, in the church from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. An afternoon for children and the young at heart. Enjoy music, crafts, stories and have fun. Festive refreshments for all, and it is all free. And finally, next Sunday the 23rd, the Mariners will be in Ballyfesson Methodist Chapel in Port Erin at 6:30, when the preacher will be Reverend Chris Belfield. And that's all that we have time for now, but I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock with Sundown, and I'd love you to come and join me in our virtual lounge for easy listening music and your requests and dedications. And so, till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning.
The Nation Station.